Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor, how do I know that God is listening? How do I know that he answers prayers? I mean, is he even listening to me? Do my prayers make any difference? These are the kind of questions that I often get from you about prayer, and I probably get more questions from you about prayer than I do about anything else except for maybe what happens after we die. And these are not academic questions. They're not just theological curiosity. These are the heartfelt cries of God's people who want to know if God really cares about prayer. And I have to admit, there have been times, in very dark times of my life, when I have wondered if my prayers mattered, if they made any difference. Throughout history, God's people have sometimes questioned whether or not their prayers are heard and answered by God, especially during times of persecution. I read an article recently at Voice of the Martyrs where it talked about a man who was in a communist prison for 20 years. And he said during that entire time, he did not hear God speak. And he wondered if his prayers were making any difference. He said that he couldn't even tell that people were praying for him. But when he got out of prison, he finally heard about all of the hundreds and thousands of people around the world who had lifted him up. But in that time of crisis, in that time of distress, it felt like just silence. There are times in the scriptures where David or the sons of Korah and others, they cry out and they say, "How long, O Lord, how long will you hide your face from me? How long will you ignore my plea for mercy?" And so in our gospel today, Jesus tells a parable that encourages us that we should always pray. And that we should never lose heart, not even when it seems like everything is working against us. Jesus says, keep praying. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Jesus tells the parable of the persistent widow, as we've come to call it, to teach us about the perseverance of prayer. It is a simple story, but it's all too familiar in a fallen world. The story of an oppressed person who is crying out for justice. And in Jesus' story, this poor widow is seeking redress for her grievances from a local judge. But remember that in the ancient world, widows had very few legal rights or protections. Very few. And the question is, who is going to hear her case? Who is going to take up her cause? Certainly not the unrighteous judge. The widow begs him to give her justice against her adversary, but the judge in Jesus' story is a wicked man. Ironically, an unjust justice. Think about that. I know that we don't have any judges like that in our country. Well, for quite a while. I'm being facetious, but for quite a while, the unrighteous judge refuses to hear the woman's complaint or to grant her justice. Very likely, he's expecting a bribe, but she doesn't have money for that. And so she keeps at him. She keeps sending her petitions, keeps rapping on the door of his judge's chambers, keeps talking to her friends and neighbors, most likely, about this unrighteous judge and ruining his reputation. And so finally, just to make her shut up and go away, he gives in and he grants her motion. He gives her justice and she stops bugging him. So what is the point of the parable? Is it that when we're in trouble, we should keep pestering God and keep bugging him until finally, just to make us shut up and go away, he gives us what we pray for? No, that is not the point of the parable. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. Jesus says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, his chosen children who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give them justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, Will he find faith on earth? And so we're wrong if we think that the purpose or the point of the parable is for us to somehow compare God as being like the unrighteous judge. No, God is infinitely opposite of the unrighteous judge. And the point is contrast, not comparison. The point is that the answer to all of these questions of Jesus is that God welcomes our prayers. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Yes, he will. Will he delay long over them? No, he won't. I tell you, Jesus says, he will give justice to them speedily. We don't have a heavenly father who is loath to love his children. He lavishes us with gifts. Above all, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, salvation. In another place, Jesus asks, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? All right, dads, how many of you, that's your idea of a good gift? Of course not, right? And Jesus says, if you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, which, by the way, just as a side note, that's a great verse to hang your hat on about the total depravity of man. Jesus calls his entire audience wicked. If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In Matthew's gospel, he says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? God is not like the unrighteous judge. God is not like an abusive father who disappoints and deprives you. God welcomes our prayers, invites our prayers, always listens. Think back to eighth grade, confirmation time, right? Our Father who art in heaven, what does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. And how do dear children ask their dear Father? If my kids want something, do they just ask one time, and if I say no, that's it? No, it's why not? Come on, Dad. I want this. I need this. Daddy, Daddy. When they're really little, they tug at your shirt sleeve or the leg of your pants, right? They keep at you until you either say okay and give in or tell them to go see their mother. That is how we are to pray. God wants us to pray. You can't pester him if he wants to hear from you. God isn't like the unrighteous judge. He invites your prayer, and he urges us to persevere in prayer. He will not leave you hanging. You know, that man I talked about that was in the communist prison for 20 years, he kept praying even when it seemed like there was no answer. Because that's what God's people do. We keep praying. And did God answer his prayer? Yes, he was released after 20 years. But he kept at it. God will answer speedily, Jesus says. 20 years doesn't seem like a long time. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers as fast as we would desire. But he always answers at the right time and in the right way. Trust in him at all times, the psalmist sings. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but the Lord is patient toward you. I know that I would not want to be in the shoes of that brother who is in jail for his faith. But if you think about it, it's hard for me to imagine that any of my sermons are more effective or more powerful than the sermon he preached simply by praying and keeping on after God for 20 years. Imagine the effect it must have had on people around him that despite his circumstances, he never denied Christ, he never spat on the Bible, he never lost the faith. He kept at it. That is, his whole life was a sermon. And so God tells us to pray, to speak, to cry out to him, to complain. He is listening. Nevertheless, Jesus asks, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? We cry out for justice. Jesus is looking for faith. When Jesus comes on the last day, he will bring justice. He will restore the world and set it to rights. He will judge the nations. He will make all things new. But he will not give us total justice, or that would be the end of us. Here's something else that you probably remember from eighth grade, from the catechism. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. For we daily sin much, and we surely deserve nothing but punishment. What we deserve is punishment. That would be justice. If God gave ultimate justice to all of humanity, none of us would be saved. But God's answer is greater than justice. His answer is grace. His answer is that he sent Jesus to be the answer to our prayers, to take our sin upon him on the cross, so that God poured out his wrath on Jesus, that the justice we deserve was given to Christ, and the reward that Christ deserved, eternal life, was given to us. And so the faith that Jesus is looking for is a faith that clings to the cross of Christ no matter what comes, come hell or high water. And that just as Jacob grappled with the angel and would not let go, would not relent until God blessed him, so also we will not let go of God in prayer, and we will not let go of the cross until God gives us mercy. We will always receive what we need from his hand. Our only hope is Jesus. Our only hope is the righteousness that comes by faith and not by works, that flows from the cross with his blood. This is the gift of God. A gift from a God who delights in giving gifts. And so Jesus urges us to always pray, to never lose heart, to keep on praying, to keep on crying, to keep knocking on the door. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.